the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Exclusively sponsored by the law firm Kondori & Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We'll get into our fantasy football series that we're doing at 5 every day this week, coming up in just a couple of moments. Big fantasy football week on Grant and Danny, what with this daily segment. And then also, more importantly, our fantasy football draft tomorrow night at Pupitella in Springfield. If you're in the league, you probably already know that, or you haven't checked your DMs to find out. But get signed up and get there tomorrow for the draft. If you're not, just come hang out, eat pizza, and watch us draft football.
Yeah, teams. Worst things have happened to people. Hang out with your pals and eat some Pupitella.
It is time to get you ready for the fantasy football season. Today, we are covering the running back position, and to help us break it down from all angles, Jake Seely, senior writer, The Athletic Fantasy Coverage. Jake, thank you for hopping aboard. We appreciate you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm ready for the season to start and not get any sleep until January.
Yeah, it's that time.
Yeah, man.
And we're all fired up about it. Got to win the races to the waiver wire, obviously. But when you think running backs, I guess we'll let you drive here early. What's your philosophy this season? What are some of the things you're thinking and that we need to know at that position?
So I've pretty much stayed with my position throughout the years of whatever you want to call it, bell cow, hero, RB, whatever it might be, but basically getting an elite running back in the first two rounds. And there's been years where I've gone against it just because of how the draft board was for me. But I think this year it's become even a little bit more important than normal. Not so much because of the success from last year, as I try to say that, because I don't think we can expect them all to stay healthy as they did last season. It's more for the fact that you guys know how deep this draft class was. And because of that, we have so many questionable backfields of who's going to be the lead, who's going to get time, who's going to be the passing option, that I'd rather get one of those clear cut lead running backs in the first two rounds and then just load up at wide receiver for a while, because I can still pick and choose from those backfields the same as anybody else is doing in the third round. I can do it in their fifth or sixth round and probably get the potential same output.
Jake, how are you treating some of these guys with ridiculous upside that we've seen in the not-too-distant past? Barkley, McCaffrey, Devin Achane. Some of these guys, though, with that upside that's ridiculous, but also could absolutely kill you if it's your first-round pick and they're not available for weeks or months at a time. How are you treating some of those guys?
So one of those names I'm treating a little bit differently. Most often, I'm not too afraid of having my first-round pick blow up in my face. I've been on both sides of it. I was team C.J. Anderson next to Peyton Manning back in the day, and I took him in the first round, and I was a knucklehead for doing so, and he was a bust, but I still ended up winning an industry league. I've also gone wide receiver, the one year that Dez Bryant and Jordy Nelson got hurt. I took them in the first and second round.
Amazing.
So it can happen to you at any point. I'm not so much on the side of, oh, Barkley touched the ball 400 times. Like, he's not the same running back as everybody else. It's not like he got slammed into the turf 400 times. Derrick Henry, I know he's a freak of nature, but, you know, we've seen him be able to withstand most seasons. Christian McCaffrey is obviously, you want to take the risk or you don't. I'm not going to tell you you're stupid to go either way. We know he can be the best player in fantasy football. If you're afraid because this is now multiple seasons of injuries back and forth and back and forth, I get it. But in the first round, if I'm with a bunch of sharp people in my league, I'm trying to win the league first or last, as Ricky Bobby used to say. I have no problem taking McCaffrey. The one you said was Achane. Because it's an injury and we're questionable already from week one, so there's somebody in the industry, Sigmund Bloom, he always says, you're always going to get injuries. I don't need to invest in them to start my draft. And that's where I'm a little bit more hesitant on Achane. If he's there at the end of the second round, he's still there in the third, I have no problem with it. But I'm not trying to start my season with a person who's already questionable for week one, who's had soft tissue injuries. Man, I can't talk today. So I think that he's the outlier just because we're going into week one with a giant question mark.
Jake Seely is part of The Athletic's fantasy coverage, does a great job covering that part of the game. He's with us here on Grant and Danny, our Fantasy at 5 series all week long. We're talking running backs today. So your RB1, let's go rapid fire with some stuff top of the board here. Your RB1 would be who if you were going to take a running back right at the top of the board?
I go Bijan, Barkley, Gibbs in order, and then McCaffrey's my fourth.
So that would be my next question, is Gibbs or Barkley? Is it Saquon substantially better or narrowly? Like, is that a coin flip behind Bijan?
No, so I actually do tiers. So I have Bijan, Barkley, and Gibbs all in the same tier. If you wanted to argue Gibbs first, if you want to argue Bijan third, whatever it might be, I'm not going to call you nuts. McCaffrey's in a tier of his own because I just treat him as he's his own world. He can be the best or he could be a bust. So any of those three, I have no problem with any of them.
All right, then I'd imagine somewhere in tier two is some variation of, we're talking Derrick Henry from the Ravens, a couple of the young guys like Ashton Jeanty of the Raiders maybe, or Bucky Irving of the Buccaneers. Jacobs is a workhorse with the Packers, is in that combo. Jonathan Taylor, same deal with the Colts. Like, what's the next group look like, and how do you sort it out?
You're good. You went 5 for 5. You're only missing two names out of that tier. You want to take two more stabs at it?
Well, you said McCaffrey. I mean, the next on my list would be Kyren Williams, James Cook, probably. Am I missing someone?
So no, Kyren Williams, Achane's in that group. McCaffrey's in his own, so it's okay. Kind of the same group. But you got the Kyren Williams. I think that the only concern we had was the contract, and he got it, which means Sean McVay is not going to turn away from him if he has a bad game or two like he's done with the past running backs. But all the other ones you mentioned, you nailed them. Ashton Jeanty is right dead in the middle. He has as much rookie upside as Barkley or Zeke before him. But obviously the question mark is, how effective will the Raiders offense be? Will they have the same touchdown equity as some of the others? And then Jonathan Taylor is the last of that group. Talk about injury risk. Nobody ever wants to bring up his name. He's been hurt all the last three seasons. And I think he's as big as an injury risk as McCaffrey or anybody. James Cook is in a very, very, very small group with Chase Brown and Omarion Hampton. That's it. That's the end of the list for me, because James Cook has the touchdown risk. Chase Brown, we assume, is going to see all the work now as the guy for the Bengals, and they didn't really do much in this offseason, but there's still the chance that he's not who we think he is from last season. And then Omarion Hampton should be the guy for the Chargers, but they do have Najee Harris waiting in the wings that they signed and is finally back on the field. And we know what Greg Roman does. He loves two running backs, so that's just why they're kind of in their own special group.
How do you view the good player on a mediocre or bad team? Thinking of the Kamara, Chuba Hubbard, maybe Tony Pollard in Tennessee, et cetera. Is there value there? Give me some guys in those kind of situations that you're into or not.
So I am, and they actually kind of fall into a similar group. Like, Pacheco's on the other side of it, but mm-hmm. We don't know that Pacheco is going to get a ton of passing game work. So it really comes down to, if they're on a bad team, like Hubbard's a great one, Kamara's going to see the passing game work. I need the volume to offset that. Like, I need to know that they're going to get 250 touch range, and maybe Kamara's a little bit under that, but he makes up with it, so many of it being passing downs. The other side of it is that you have the Pachecos of the world, or Swift, as we assume, should be the lead option for the Bears, and we assume that the Bears will be better, and he should have lesser volume, but he's on what we assume that offense is going to be fixed by Ben Johnson. So Pollard's in that same range. I'm glad you brought him up. He was actually RB24 with all the – he had 300 touches last year, and he was RB24 in fantasy points per game because he's on the Titans. So I think that's a really good conversation to have, is all those names are kind of those – I'm okay with them being my RB2, but to go back to that very first question you guys led off with, this is why I want all of these as my two. I don't want to go three straight wide receivers and have my lead running back – having to be like, well, he has to get all the volume or the offense has to support him with double-digit touchdowns.
Jake, give me a guy or two that you've, and then think of the running back spot specifically here still, that you've ended up with a lot, whether it was your design or someone you've targeted or just maybe the way the drafts fell, et cetera. Give me a guy that's on a lot of your rosters.
So this is going to sound like a lie, but I'm victory lapping this one. Ollie Gordon for the Dolphins. Like, I will take a victory lap on this because I was called crazy 2 months ago when I said that he was coming for the Raheem Mostert role, and everybody's like, it's Jalen Wright. And I'm like, let's not forget Ollie Gordon 2 years ago was thought to be a potential first rounder. Talk about a guy that was screwed over by not being able to leave after the second year in college. Ollie Gordon, I brought up Achane earlier as the injury risk. He's out there to split the touches. Wright won't be out there in week one. And if Achane were out, I mean, we're talking about somebody that might have a lot of volume to start things, and then at worst is a timeshare piece. I've ended up with a lot of him, but that one, like I said, sounds like this is late in the game and like, it's coming back around. The one other one I thought was very intriguing was Braylon Allen. And it's not so much that I don't believe in Breece Hall, it's that it's Justin Fields. And if you look at Justin Fields' past success, he's been up and down. But when he's had success, the running back alongside him has been a bruiser, real tough runner at the goal line because they try to offset what Fields does in space. with the bigger body. And I always thought that Braylon Allen was intriguing, that one, he could get some cheap touchdowns throughout the season and be like your RB3 or bench stash. And then if Breece Hall does get hurt, which he was hurt for almost half the season last year, he could have top 20 upside. Those are two that I actually have in a lot of my leagues.
Jake, you're on in D.C. right now. Brian Robinson was traded. There's been a lot of talk about Jacory Kroski-Merritt and Chris Rodriguez. How do you think this sorts itself out in terms of pecking order as the year goes on?
Yeah, I'm actually only 3.5 hours down here in Virginia Beach from you guys, so I'm kind of waving out the window a little bit. Yeah, I've come out there a few times. I think that, so I want to caution Commanders fans not to go too crazy because, look, Kroski-Merritt is a fun talent. Is actually, you know, he probably would have thought of more if not what happened to him in college with the whole jersey situation. But he's also somebody who's explosive that I don't think, we talk about that volume from earlier, I don't think he's ever going to be a 20-touch guy in the NFL. Like, I don't think that that's who he is. And we've seen the talk about, oh, you know, well, we think Chris Rodriguez could be a great option at the goal line. We've heard that from coaches before. Like, and then that third option maybe sprinkles in, but doesn't end up being a third option. But I will say this, the one that's safest is Austin Ekeler, who was productive last year before he got hurt. I think he can be productive again. And I think his role is the safest. And I say that to say you have Jaden Daniels, who's going to take a ton of the rushing. You have Austin Ekeler's not going to go away. So now it comes down to Kroski-Merritt really needs to be Brian Robinson from last year. And I mean that in a volume standpoint. So I would treat him as an RB3, like, you know, around the 30 to 35 range with upside for more. Don't get me wrong. I love the talent. But the worst case scenario and why I'm only treating him as an RB3 is because this could blow up in our faces for fantasy purposes and be a full blown committee. And maybe he is telling the truth about Chris Rodriguez. And all of a sudden, Kroski-Merritt's only getting 12 to 14 touches per week, which is fine. It's just going to be very inconsistent for production.
What's the right round, easy for me to say, to take one or both of those guys?
So Kroski-Merritt, it depends on who you're drafting with, because if you're drafting in the wrong draft, you're going to have to take him in the sixth round, and please don't do that. You've eliminated any upside if you take him there. I'm willing to take him late seventh, eighth round. I think that's where a lot of the RB3s start going. You have some wide receivers. You probably have two running backs. And if Kroski-Merritt even gets off to a slow start, you're okay because he's on your bench for that upside. Chris Rodriguez, I'd take a flyer on in the 12th round or something like that, just in case. Hey, if Kroski-Merritt were to get hurt in week one, Rodriguez would be splitting the backfield with Austin Ekeler. But I will say, I'm going to go back to it. Austin Ekeler is my favorite value because you can get him in the 9th or 10th round. And I actually think in a half and full point PPR, he will provide RB3 value this year.
Jake Seeley, The Athletic. Fantasy coverage. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
No, it was a good time. I always appreciate talking fantasy.
Yeah, that was fun.
Thanks, buddy.
Good insight from him. That's the running back position. Tomorrow we're going to tackle the receiver spot. So we'll have at least gotten through three position groups before we go do our Grant and Danny Listener League draft tomorrow. But hopefully this is helping you guys. I actually have two drafts tomorrow night. You asked me yesterday, I guess it was.
Have you had any yet? Yeah.
My first two, and I keep whittling the leagues down as best I can. So I'm now in three leagues that I care about, I would say. Two of them draft tomorrow. I have one more over the weekend, maybe in early next week with all my high school buddies.
Is it the same time as the G&D league? Because I've had to do that the cakes draft the same time, like 7 straight years.
Yeah, you always do that where you're on the laptop. It's right after, I think.
Oh, right on.
Our drafts, do we know what time our draft starts? Probably 7:30 or something. So this draft's going to start at 9:30.
Okay.
So I'll probably be like...
Just hang out more at Pupitella.
In the parking lot at Pupitella when they kick me out of the building at 10 in my car finishing my draft on mobile or something. But running back, receiver, that's generally the philosophy for me. Stack the roster, grab a quarterback late, and see where it gets
you. I can't quit RB Hero. I still do it, right? Where, I mean, last year in one of my big money leagues, I was telling Ryan this, where I'm in this league with a bunch of Wall Street sharps who think about things differently than everybody else. So in other words, when I like see a stock on the ticker, it's already too late. They thought about it 7 months ago with like algorithms and all sorts of stuff and fancy things. They're doing the same predictive deal, but for fantasy football. So it's always really interesting to be in a league with those guys because they do it differently than everyone else. It's a long way of saying, by the time it got to us at 8 and 9 and kind of as the rounds were going, there were no running backs left. We kept going, well, the value of this receiver is too great. We have to do it. We have to do it. And then we were just left with nothing at pittance. So we went, you know, RB0 method. But I just generally just feel safer. I need one bell cow, and then I can kind of do whatever else I want with either my first or second round pick, kind of depending on how the draft goes. But this is a good year for that, I think. I think there's enough guys up at the top where you can feel comfortable and safe with a running back.
The Grant and Danny poll of the day is live and has been voted on by many of our listeners. You can go join them and vote right now. It's the G&D poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Here's the question, Danny. The Commanders have made their first 53-man roster available. Of all the players cut, who surprised you the most? Cleland Farrell, defensive end. Wide receiver Ja'Cory Brooks. D-tackle Sheldon Day. Or D-tackle Carl Davis. Right now, 41% are saying the Cleland Farrell release surprised the most. 38% Ja'Cory Brooks. 20% Sheldon Day. You can vote. Go vote right now. Who's the guy that surprised you the most? They're not on the team.
I voted for Sheldon Day on this one. I think once Von Miller came, you sort of looked at the landscape there for who was going to be a pass rusher slash defensive end, where that was going to come from, and maybe didn't really include Farrell. So maybe I don't want to say anticipated that, but that one didn't stun me as much. Again, Day played a lot for them last year. I know Farrell played some too, but that defensive tackle spot, I thought they would keep an extra body there. So that was the one that stunned me the most.
We've got actual words from Terry McLaurin about signing a contract with the Commanders. In fact, he just put pen to paper officially on the deal within the last half hour, and the team put out some photos and videos of him signing his new deal. Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The 3 conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Toby for getting us up to date. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. You can listen to us all over the DMV on our flagship, 106.7. Of course, we are live in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. You can listen wherever you are, coast to coast, out of the country, the Odyssey app, free and available. And you can watch us online in high definition on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. In fact, a lot of people at recent appearances have come up and told us that they just put us on their smart TVs.
Very cool.
And that is how they're enjoying the show now, which is a pretty cool deal. So however you enjoy the content and the program, it does mean a lot, and we appreciate you. So thanks much. We're taking you up to 6:30, about 1 hour from now, on Cutdown Day in the NFL. Terry McLaurin signing day, officially. He just put pen to paper on his new deal. This was a video the team put out on social media from Scary Terry himself minutes ago.
Commanders fans, what's up? It's Terry McLaurin. I'm back. I'm excited to be here with you guys, man. I call this place home. I can't wait to see you guys out there week one. Let's work hard this year. We need y'all loud each and every week. Appreciate y'all. Let's get to it.
I'm back. As if he had gone anywhere. Now,
that's
I guess
right.
Technically he was not here, but I'm back.
But he
does
was.
Kind of feel like he was a free agent or he played for the Colts or something.
It's like, my ankle's fine.
Right. But there's no mention of the ankle in this video. So someone needs to check on that ankle, make sure everything's doing okay, that the rehab's going swimmingly so that we can get him back on the field. But what do you make of the initial Terry McLaurin olive branch to the fans after a lengthy saga?
Yeah, shtick aside, that's him, right? Like, that's Terry McLaurin being his bubbly, fun, engaging, smiling, you know, winning type person that he is. Like, that's what he sounds like. When he's happy, when he's right, that's the reason fans fell in love with him. So that was good to hear. Like, you haven't heard him talk that way in a while. You know, whether it was whatever media availability he had. He's taking it day by day. Or is it Eastern Motors where your job's your credit, saying how sad he is and disrespected he is and this, that, and the other? It hadn't been like that. So having that be harmonious, the engaged billion-dollar smile, Terry McLaurin, that's way more fun for us fans.
This is our first foray into demeanor now on the other side of this thing. And my prediction all along has been that as soon as this saga ended and as soon as this dispute was over, it would be like it never happened. Business is business.
Mm-hmm.
The sausage got made. That's the unfun part. You guys saw the quiet part out loud, basically. You wanted to see it. You're allowed to see it. We weren't turning your eyes away from it, but you chose to watch the sausage get made, and it's not very pretty, and you were upset, and that's fine, but guess what? Me and Adam Peters are best friends. I'm actually partially surprised they didn't do a video together. Now, I'd imagine there's going to be some type of joint press conference. I don't know the exact plan tomorrow. The fact that this is happening on cutdown day actually makes it complicated because Peters is going to have to do a 53-man roster press conference as well. So the Terry update and contract Q&A is going to be folded into that. But otherwise, I think what would have been smartest is just to have those two guys sitting next to each other laughing about everything. Because all you have to do is talk about how the big bad media, they had this wrong. We were buddies all along. And the fans will eat that up and talk about how terrible the media is.
Sure.
And, you know, the media hates the team and hates the players and hates Adam Peters. And the media is the media, the media. And that's all they would have had to do. And people would have eaten it up like catnip because the media is the worst. That would have been my philosophy. But because of cutdown day, I'm guessing maybe Terry will speak on his own and then Adam and Dan Quinn will sit side by side and do some kind of joint presser.
That's probably the way it's going to go, right? I mean, part of it's the calendar. I mean, had this happened a week ago, you'd have had that kumbaya moment where everybody was friends. And you know who didn't have this right was these guys on the outside, not here in this room. In this room, we knew this was all gold. And all the performative theaters, water under the bridge, and everybody loves everybody, and we can't wait to be back on the football field. But I think because it happened today, to your point, you kind of lose that opportunity because Peters and Newmark and Sosna and everybody that's getting paid to wear a shirt and tie and decide on who's playing for the team are busy right now. There's not a lot of free time to do selfie videos.
What do you guys make of this being official? McLaurin in the building. You see the video come out. He's telling fans, get on out there. September 7th, I'll be there. Need you loud against the Giants. Elijah in D.C., what do you think?
Fellas, man, thanks for taking my call. I've been, man, itching to get on the line with y'all, man. I lost my phone in the Outer Banks last week, and I've been, like, going through it. So just to hear
let me double-click on this. What
happened?
You don't know where it is?
Is it in the ocean?
Man, I think it is, man. I went to find my iPhone, and I got, like, this bluish-green backdrop.
Uh-oh.
It was kind of wild. My family's like, you know, Hurricane Aaron's going on. You're like, yo, he's down there, and sure, hope he's fine. But, you know, so Nag's Head wind up just getting the best breeze you can imagine. Absolutely no flooding. It was a blast. I'm glad I didn't stay. It was yellow. It turned to double flags, which means no swimming.
Right.
And, of course, you have your local, you know, some guy, excuse me, not local because they're cool, but most guys that's from somewhere else, they're in the water when they're not supposed to be in the water. And it was kind of painful. So seeing those guys have to use those ATVs to say, if you don't get yourself out of this water, it's going to be a problem. But
there's always the dummies.
I did that.
Just won't listen.
My dad and I did that.
Believe it.
Yeah. We got down there. We waited too long. It's our vacation. We're going, screw those flags. We went in there, got thrown on our butts. Like my swimsuit was over my head, sand everywhere in my biscuits. We had to get hauled out of there by the ATV guys.
I want to go back to the phone. So what happened to the phone?
So my phone, I just ordered a new one, and it came in my I love you guys so much. I told my wife, I was like, I'm taking your phone to work today. I'll make it up. But so my phone came in the mail. It's arrived, but, you know, you got to have Wi-Fi. And I was just freaking out holding the thing in my hand because I hadn't had it for a week. So I just said, hey, I'll keep it home with you. You get on Wi-Fi, you get me up to speed, and, I'll have my phone tomorrow. But the last week was nuts. I didn't know how much I, thought I'd need my phone, even though the break without it, surprisingly, people want to know where you are 24 hours a day. We've accepted that in our society. But to have a few days with no reference of anything was a very refreshing thing, I will say.
So we're going through this right now at my house.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a little bit of a of a dispute.
A kerfuffle?
Between me and the wife.
Uh-huh.
So she is on day 5, I think, without a cell phone. Unacceptable. I'm at work all day. There's zero communication. There's no ability to talk to her. Is everyone alive? Did anyone break in and steal anyone? Like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Just would love to be able to get some type of insight on my offspring or what's going on at home from when I leave the house at 11 or so in the morning until I get home at close to 7:30 at night. And that's not happening. But I have never, as a grown-up, I think I got a phone when I was 15 or 16 years old, if I had to guess. I've never gone 24 hours without a cell phone since. I'm addicted, like everybody else. It's just not something I'm going to do. But when my phone breaks, I go right to Verizon. I go to the store, and I immediately buy a new one. And I sit there, and they go, oh, we can't help you. I sit on their desk pretzel style until they help me get a new phone. I'm not leaving until the phone's in my hand turned on. Oh, well, we'll give you this one. You could go program it at your house. Nope. I want to be able to make a call before I walk out of here. Thank you. That's kind of my philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
She called some insurance third party, and they said they'll mail her one in the next couple of days. And there was no, like, corresponding email, and so she has no idea what's going on or where the phone is. Everything's fine. It's only been 4 or 5 days. I just can't fathom
it. You're apoplectic.
I mean, I'm just so beside myself. 5 minutes without a phone is irresponsible.
Now, does it count? You probably say it doesn't, because I had access to it had I needed it. But there have been many times where at the beach house, where I normally go, it stays in the room, and I don't look at it for days.
It's not the same thing.
Not the same, right?
You're choosing, you're saying, your phone is working.
Mm-hmm.
You've turned it off because you're on vacation to not be staring at it.
Right.
Good for you. This is not that.
But
this
doesn't count.
If there's an emergency right now, can you get a hold of anyone? The answer is no. You're doing it wrong. Try something else. Unacceptable. Has any adult that you know been without a phone for more than 72 hours in their adult life? How could you possibly?
One guy, and I love him to death, but he's the, I don't think he'd mind me saying this. He'd wear it as a badge of honor. He's the cheapest dude on the planet. Like, I'm pretty frugal, and this guy puts me to shame.
I was gonna say, Danny, why are you talking about yourself?
I know. Well, like, we have cheap offs, and he wins. He's better than me.
Really?
At this. Yeah, he's like, I eventually give in and say, bleep it, I'll pay. He lives it, and he's amazing. He's gone days without it, where he's like, if I don't pay this shipping and handling, or if I don't do this, all I have to do is wait an extra day or 2 days or 3 days or 7 days. I don't have to pay the $19.95. I've seen him do it. It's amazing.
I just can't
fathom. Like, if you, he actually said to me, if you need to text me, text my mom. And I went, I love you, buddy. I'm not doing that.
Right. does he live with her? Like,
what? No. But she was like relaying messages at various points that were like semi
carrier pigeon. How was she communicating?
I don't know.
What could she do that you couldn't? His email.
You're asking great questions. But what's he going to check his email on? Well, air?
A computer, maybe?
No, but like if we're out and about, this was like arranging stuff. But he goes, if you need me, just text my mom. And I said, again, dude, I love you. I'm not going to do that.
That's nuts. By the way, we still have no terms on the McLaurin contract. At 5:40 in the afternoon the next day.
I think once he signs, we'll get him. Maybe that's why we don't have him yet.
We're going to get him when they get submitted to the league and then they get leaked to like SpotTrack or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we'll get him. But I think that tells you a whole lot, doesn't it? That all we found out was the 3 and 96, like the big agent number, and there was no other money that was given. I think that's going to tell you this thing's going to look very different when we actually get the real terms of this. Now, I saw there were a lot of people. I didn't get to see all the coverage of what's going on with Terry McLaurin and his contract because I was, busy doing the show and doing everything yesterday.
Yep.
But there are a lot of people that, like, I don't understand why people care who caved, or I don't understand why people care about how much McLaurin wanted or the team was offering. I can't understand not being interested in those things, not only because it matters to building the team and the salary cap situation and, I don't know, this little detail, like, how many years is he actually going to be here for? Right? Because it's not four.
That seems important, yeah.
It's less than that, but is it two? Is it three that they can get out of it when he gets John Allen by this team, when there's not a whole lot of guaranteed money left, who was a good soldier for a long time? Like, those are minor details that I care about. But I also get, and I try to be open to the fact that for a lot of fans, there's plenty of plugged in fans that care about the nuance and are like subscribing to Substacks on the team so that they can read real insight. But for a lot of people, it's like, is Terry McLaurin going to be on the field in week one? I don't care about anything else.
Yeah, I'd like to watch the team on Sunday. Will he be playing?
Like, let's, all right, you guys. So we have a group of three here that are fans of the team that go to games, watch the team. I'd be curious. I want to start with Toby, who is, I would say, Lieutenant McLaurin in our show group here. He is by far the biggest.
Major McLaurin.
McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
Homer.
Apologist.
Yeah, that's negative. But yes, so is Homer, I guess. So yeah. That'll work. He wore a Terry McLaurin jersey yesterday all day. I didn't even realize it till after the show. I'm like, have you been wearing that all day? It's like, that's kind of a good bit. So do you care at all about the terms of the Terry McLaurin contract, or you've moved past it and he's under contract?
I mean, I'm going to be interested in what they are, but it's not. I'm not waiting every second, like holding my breath to know who won the negotiation. I'm just glad it's over and he's going to be on the football field week one.
But when you hear people like say, it doesn't matter what the contract is, he signed. Your response to that is?
I mean, I think that's a little bit crazy, but
right.
I would be more on that side than saying like, oh, I have to know before I worry about, like, to me, everything was about this season. That's why it was so frustrating it dragged out. Now at least you're to a point where hopefully he can get on the field and play week one and it doesn't affect this season that much.
Right, which is, that's the big key, no doubt. I think that without knowing the terms, we don't know what their cap situation is moving forward, first and foremost, kind of important. And more significant, we don't know how many years Terry McLaurin's actually going to be here for moving forward as of this contract. All right, Darius, what about you? Your level of interest in finding out those details?
I would say if the high point of it would be a 10 and the low point would be a 1, I would say maybe a 6.5. Is okay. My level of interest.
I like that.
And it's for the points that you just mentioned, where I just want to know, is this a glorified 1 or 2 year deal? Or is this actually a, you know, 3 year extension?
All right, what about just in a who won sense? Peters or Buddy Baker? You have no, like 1 to 10 that.
I would say 6.
So you're still interested.
Yeah, I'm a little bit interested.
I am a 10 out of 10 on the team stuff that matters. And if you don't understand why, like, and you're a media member, I don't know what to say to that. That's ridiculous to me. But on the Terry McLaurin's agent versus team who won thing, probably an 8.5 or a 9. I'm still, like, even that storyline, it consumed the town for months and months and months. Now it's over and we went to the movie theater. We stopped and we got candy at the gas station to sneak in. I had to fill up the car on the way. Then I bought the tickets. Then we got our popcorn. Then we waited in line. Then we got to the theater and I said, I won't watch the movie. And I went home. Like, what?
Well, I mean, for a lot of people, it's a, here is a problem, right? We know what the problem is. He's not signed. Who do I blame for the problem? Who do I blame? I want someone to blame right now. Hey, man, the problem's been solved. Oh, I think that's how a lot of people view it.
But finding out what he got kind of tells you who's more to blame. Whoever caved and went to the other person's number more to blame
but
than
the
other person.
But once the problem has been solved, for a lot of fans, the page is immediately turned.
Right. That's amazing.
Right.
Cool. That is not how I see the world.
For me, it's probably a 2.5 out of 10 on how much cash does he get to take home? In terms of this year, like, that stuff's I'm intrigued because it's part of the gig and I want to know, like, the salary cap hits and those sorts of things.
You're
and how
two
long
and a half out of 10?
Yeah, on those particulars.
On how long he's going to be here and what is... Wow.
Because it's like, it's either 2 years, 3 years. I'll find out in due course. That I'm not that... I got to know. I'm a 277 trillion out of 10 on the element of who won the negotiation. That I care about so much. I care about that end of the earth.
I think that's so secondary.
That to me is the only thing that I'm concerned with. So right now I'm sitting here waiting with bated breath at all the people who screamed all sorts of things at me. Do they get to be right or do I get to be right?
Well,
and that's what I
care
so about.
Much about that.
This is what I care about
all the time.
This is what I care about.
Clary.
I care at like probably like a 4.5 out of 10. Like, I do care in a sense, but also like the deal is done. Now, if Jaden Daniels was, let's say, in like year 3 right now and like he's about to get paid, then I would care because we need to save every single penny for him. But this contract's not really going to affect
Well, it affects Luvu next year. It affects
Tunsil, like, and then San Rosto.
So many things.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but like $1 million, $2 million. So, I mean, we'll see.
What do you mean $1 million, $2 million?
I mean, like annually, like if it's whatever's guaranteed. Like, I mean, the things, like, what is your thing? It's like $30 million in a year. That's kind of like your threshold of like, oh, if they go over that, then like the Commanders won, or if they go under that.
It could be the difference in terms of actual money of like $15 million in terms of guarantees. Like, if this thing comes back and he got $60 million versus $44 million, or, you know, if it's $52 million, those are big differences.
Yeah,
in terms of team building,
I agree. I just don't think it'll probably get to that point. Like, it's probably like $60 million guaranteed. Maybe, I don't know at this point.
And that's the thing. Now, going back to your other point, mm-hmm. if he gets $60 million guaranteed, Buddy Baker, your music's playing, brother. I don't think it'll be anything close to that. But my God, would that be amazing? And Adam Peters, for having all the leverage. Terry just...
Yeah, then you caved to that guy.
He's doing a dance in the end zone.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's what's going to happen, but we're going to find out. My guess is if he got close to $60 million guaranteed, you guys would know about it right now. Buddy Baker wouldn't keep that from...
He'd probably make that one public.
What's the guy's name from Starbucks? Jordan Schultz. Wouldn't keep that one from Jordan Schultz. Well, wouldn't have done that. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Standig's going to join us to go over Washington's roster. They cut down to 53 today. That's coming up at 6 in 10 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30. Nats at Yankee Stadium. I still get psyched for the Nats at Yankee Stadium.
Just do you?
The interleague intrigue, them being in a ballpark that's historical that they're not normally at. It's, you know, the aesthetics of just a matchup that's uncommon. If the Orioles were playing the Yankees, you'd go
one of 19 this year or whatever the number is. Yeah,
the Nats and the Yankees on the road at Yankee Stadium, which is used to be so rare, and now you get annually, is a pretty sweet deal.
Still pretty neat. Yeah, I mean, there are a few stadiums I feel that for. For whatever reason, I feel that more with Fenway than Yankee Stadium, but I do smell what you're cooking.
Where are you at on Fenway Park?
Oh, it's.
I think Fenway Park is overrated. Like.
I found it, listen.
Museum, cool.
Yeah, it's a museum. I found it amazing when I went to World Series games there in 2004 when the Red Sox won it. They broke that curse.
Were you at the 04 World Series?
I got to go to the first two games up there.
No kidding.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
You weren't living there.
No.
What's that about?
So my good friend, it's a boring story, but our kind of like a mentor, like older brother figured us. His dad is one of the minority owners of the Cardinals.
So, I remember that.
Yeah, so the story is, everyone remembers 2004 Red Sox. Well, it wasn't as if the 04 Cardinals didn't have a remarkable series. We might remember that one if it weren't for the fact that the Red Sox came back in 3-0 against the Yankees. But we're watching the NLCS the next night. Cardinals win it. We get a call at our group house for a bunch of my dude bros were living when I was Ryan's age. And he's like, all right, he's from the clubhouse. He's calling us. He goes, who's going to Boston? And I'm like, all right, everybody shut up. Who wants to go to Boston? 1, 2, 3, 4. 9 of us. He goes, done. So we all book our flights, crash on our buddy's couches up there in Boston, and went to the first two games of the World Series.
That's really cool. The big news in sport today, Danny, was not cutdown day. The engagement of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. It's official. I get off the elevator today up mm-hmm. here, and I'm walking around the bend. And within 30 seconds of me getting to the second level of the office, just into the bullpen area, CK comes running out of his office and he goes, did you hear the news? And I'm thinking like something crazy happened.
Did someone get cut? They traded
like,
someone?
No. He's like, Kelce and Swift are engaged. And I was like, oh, yeah, I did just hear that. Thought you were talking about something that I was interested right. in. You know what I mean? And then no sooner than I'm like, oh, yeah, I did hear that. Ryan comes running out of the studio and he goes, you see it? Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are engaged. And I kind of thought people were doing a bit. I'm like, so this is definitely.
They're like, let's all coordinate and mess with Grant when he comes in.
Why are they all telling me this? But I'm happy for them. There seems to be people that are annoyed that this is a story. That's a you problem, as far as I'm concerned. They're engaged. They're in love. They're allowed to get engaged, just like you were allowed to get engaged and I was allowed to get engaged. They're allowed to post it on their Instagram account like you probably did. And the fact that they're rich and famous doesn't mean that they should just do this all quietly and privately. So if you have an issue when she's on television for 14 seconds during the NFL game, I don't agree with you. It's not a big deal. You're allowed to feel that way. But that's not how I feel about it. And with this thing, I don't know if I've softened because my wife, my daughter likes Taylor Swift or whatever. But I don't know, man. I've just never been bothered by the Taylor Swift thing, really.
I get bothered. And it's not her fault. So it's we talked about this earlier with Shedeur Sanders, where all he's trying to do is play football. Now, there's other stuff, but bear with me. When he's trying to play football and the conversation is hysterical, the non-football people that, like, love Taylor Swift waltzing over into our thing and, like, making fun of it, they're like, I like sports ball now because Taylor Swift said it's okay. Nope, into the sun. Big rocket ship, a lot of fuel, you ride, sun. So that's the part I get annoyed about. She didn't do anything. She's world famous, and every time she opens her mouth, it's a smash hit, and she's prodigious as a songwriter. Nothing she does will ever move me to emotion. I don't care about that person at all, but I understand that people do. I live in our society. I get it. The conversation surrounding her, though, I don't want any part of it. So my general axiom, and this is true for all of you. Now, among friends, it's different. Like, I care about you and who you end up marrying because we're friends. But in general, as an athlete, someone I've never met, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you're attracted to. See ya. I'll be here doing the show tomorrow as long as they let me. So, like, I'm not interested in that they're engaged at all, but I know people are, so I'm aware of it. I don't care about that part of it. I care about the conversation that surrounds it, that enters my sphere when I don't want it to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I also have a strange interest in celebrity couples, I would say. Like, not that I'm desperate to find out information all the time, but I'm kind of curious, like, what's their life like? Mm-hmm. I liked MTV Cribs. What's her house look like?
Yes, welcome to my house.
Taylor Swift's baking random bread with Travis Kelce. Let's see what that kitchen looks like. Like, I find myself curious. I'll walk into an open house on a Sunday at 1 o'clock to see what the neighbors are working with over there, right? I'm a curious person.
You are very curious.
I probably could stand to be a lot less curious, some would say.
I'm the opposite extreme. I just don't care. At all.
I'm surprised that they got engaged, though.
Are you?
Very much so.
Okay.
It just seemed like a weird tandem from the start. Sounds like everything's going swimmingly in there in love. But I would not have had that in the office pool when this thing got going.
What did you think? It was like just convenience and she's opening up to an audience? Like it was all conspired or something?
I mean, how long do celebrities stay together? How many actors and actresses go 3 years together? Or whatever? I mean, it's just a thing.
I think all those are PR arrangements where it's like, we need to come off this movie strong. Let's get her a new boyfriend and appear at some premieres.
I think when you're super famous and you both make a lot of money and you're, you know, traveling the world and you're not together for weeks and months on end, it's hard to stay in a relationship. I just would have bet against them getting engaged and getting married. But congrats to them. It's pretty cool. I'm sure my daughter's fired up. I wouldn't know because I haven't been able to communicate with anybody at home all day long again.
So are her fans excited about this? Like, do they approve of him or whatever?
They love Travis Kelce. They think it's the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They've been on this train from the beginning that, like, she was always meant to be with, like, the jock athlete, and it's very, like, high school romance. I don't know. I'm speaking for the Swifties. I don't really know anything, but that's kind of the vibe that I get.
Okay.
I know that the people in my life that I know that love Taylor Swift are now, like, Team Kelce, and they think Jason Kelce's awesome, and Travis Kelce's awesome, and Mamas Kelce's the best.
Have you listened to Jason Kelce's wife's podcast?
Right, it's all of that. Kylie is so funny and tells it like it is, though, and, you know, whatever else. But congratulations, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
All right.
Ben Standing's next on Grant and Danny.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.